Everything you know about health is about to change. Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Sometimes people suffer not from lack of faith, but from lack of knowledge. This is the show that changes that. If you are tired of being sick, tired of not getting answers, tired of spinning in circles, then listen closely to the next 30 minutes. For healing is not a mystery. It is a miracle that you were designed to experience. It takes hard work and real knowledge. It takes patience and time. It takes the education this show can provide. So, get it straight today. Here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning, everybody, on a bright and sunny Saturday. Today's show, put your thinking caps on. Dizziness and vertigo. Why do you suffer from it? Well, first, you've got to make a distinction. Do you understand that? You have to make a distinction between dizziness and vertigo. Dizziness is that lightheadedness where you kind of feel like you're blacking out. Maybe you lose your balance because you're dizzy. But it's not vertigo. Vertigo means that the room is spinning. Some of you have one, some of you have both, some of you just have vertigo. Very common issue among people. Not life-threatening, but definitely debilitating. The problem with it is you can't get a good diagnosis. Without a diagnosis, very difficult to get a cure, so people live with it. Today's show, I'm going to get into the mistakes everybody makes. The first one, and the easiest one, and hopefully if you suffer from this, especially the dizziness, hopefully this is the mistake they made with you. If you're dizzy, you may be anemic. Now, that's not rocket science. If you don't have enough oxygen in your blood, because there's a hemoglobin deficiency, and that's what anemia is, well, then the oxygen doesn't get to the brain, and you get lightheaded and dizzy. Now, that's simple to understand, but that's not my point here. The point is, when someone's trying to determine whether you have anemia, the mistake that they're making is, what part of the day do you have anemia? Is the anemia borderline? Now, this is where it gets a little complicated because you can look like you're fairly well figured in the blood and that you don't have anemia, meaning your hemoglobin is borderline low. So what you do when you get your blood work, and unfortunately what most doctors do when they look at blood work, is they don't look at low normal, they just look at low. So if your hemoglobin is supposed to be, say, between 12 and 17, and yours is a 12.5, no flag goes down. The doctor tells you you're okay, and you look for other causes to that lightheadedness. The problem is, suppose you walk up a hill. Ladies that are still having their cycle, if you're normal in the middle of your cycle, meaning when you're not bleeding, what about before, during, and early after you're bleeding? How about people who fast a lot? In other words, people that, say, skip meals because they're busy. Do you know when you skip meals because you're busy, if you're borderline low, that's enough to take your levels down in the blood of hemoglobin. There's many incidences where because you're borderline and you stress your system, you drop below that critical threshold and you're in full-blown anemia. Just enough to make you lightheaded. Maybe not just enough to have you faint, but just enough to make you lightheaded. And you'll live that way all the time. And then when you go and you get your blood tested and they look at it and the numbers are low normal, well, they just didn't catch you at that phase in your daily routine or in that part of the month during that activity where you're not getting enough oxygen to the brain. How about rooms that are oxygen deprived? That's a weird one. But those of you who work in offices, where the windows are closed, and you've just got, well, no air circulating. Well, they're supposed to circulate it through the vents, but a lot of times those vents are so plugged with poison, they're so poorly maintained, that really you get no circulation, and you live that way day to day at work. How about parts of the city where there is such a heavy concentration of smog that there's not enough oxygen in the air? Yeah, that really happens. It happens. You go to industrialized parts of the city and your lightheadedness occurs. So you really have to understand that when you're lightheaded, it's a signal that you're not getting very often enough oxygen to the brain. There's many, many causes of that. Anemia is a big one, but to actually diagnose anemia correctly, you got to be aware of those borderline lows. Now, the second issue you can have with dizziness is plaque in the carotid arteries. Here's another tricky one. Arteries in the neck that send blood to the brain. And even though the blood has the right amount of oxygen, because you've got the right amount of hemoglobin, meaning that you're not anemic, you're not getting enough blood to the brain. One of the big cues on that, one of the ways to tell that you're plaqued, whether it's in the arteries of the heart or in the arteries of the neck, is on exertion, if then you get lightheaded. That's a big one. And that's one that passes people all the time. This is so poorly diagnosed. This is so usually missed. And that can be life-threatening. This is a mistake you don't want to make. Because if those coronary arteries are so plaqued that if you're just doing gardening and you're in the office and you're just walking around, you're just fine. But when you go to the gym and you start pumping iron, you're 60 plus years old, you're plaqued away. It's the first of the year, you've decided to get back on track, and you're in there pumping weights, and you're tired, and you're a little lightheaded, and you figure, well, I'm getting back in shape, and that's just what goes with it. Wrong. So often, that is coronary plaque, plaque in the heart, or plaque in the carotid artery in the neck. That's a danger signal. You don't catch that one, you get a heart attack, you get a stroke. I've known people this has happened to. That's a big one. It'll escape their cardiologist. Because after 60 or 70, everyone's got plaque in their arteries. It's kind of normal. But we don't consider what happens in the day-to-day of our life. It's the same thing about anemia. You're not anemic at the desk, but you're anemic when you're moving your body. The coronary plaque doesn't mean anything at your desk, but if you're pumping iron in the gym and your heart rate goes up, it can be a heart attack. Here's another one, low blood sugar. Lots of people get dizzy when the sugar's low. Why? Well, so much of our ability to orient ourselves, in other words, not feel dizzy, is driven by proper physiology of neurons in the brain. Those neurons, your brain cells, to allow you not to experience dizziness, we'll get to vertigo later, that's a function of your brain cells are fed. Now, the brain eats sugar. That's what the brain does. It can go to fatty acids, but it doesn't do well. It needs sugar. The brain is a glucose hog. Other organs, like the liver lives on essential fatty acids. The liver doesn't really use glucose. Liver cells don't use glucose. That's unusual. Muscle cells, unless you're sprinting, also use fatty acids, not glucose. But the brain is a sugar hog. Actually, the brain hogs everything because it never stops. So there's your brain, and your blood sugar is at 100, which is okay. It's healthy. It's at 90. It's at 80. And so you're living at 80 or 90, and then something stressful happens. Now, we know the fastest way to eat sugar, meaning the fastest way for your brain to use more glucose at a more rapid rate, is stress. So if you've had too light a breakfast, but you're sailing on through your morning, things are going pretty smooth. And then, as it always does, something happens. And perhaps you're a little borderline anemic. And perhaps if you combine that, your blood sugar's dropped low enough, and there's not enough oxygen in your blood anyway because you're a little anemic, and all of a sudden there's a big stressful event at work, and your blood sugar plummets 20 points in a couple of minutes, and you're lightheaded. And people live like this. Lots of people have dizziness that's intermittent. It's not the dizziness that people have every single second, you know, 20 times a day, that gets missed. It's people who just pass out. They get so dizzy out of nowhere every now and then. Or people who have an uncomfortable feeling 3 or 4 times a week. This is where these more subtle variables apply, and this is where you have to be more of a Sherlock Holmes. And I take a topic like this and do a show like this because here's the truth. A lot of the time, you have to be the Sherlock Holmes. It's not so much the doctor's fault as the doctor's only with you in that time frame. You know what they say. If it's not happening right now, I can't tell you what causes it. Well, there's a degree of validity to that. So your doctor may have to work harder or have a scenario that you just can't provide for him. That's why you have to be the Sherlock Holmes. And as always, that's why I do the show the way I do. People that are in the know about their health and are attuned to their body figure out a lot of stuff your medical doctors and other doctors can't figure out because they're not there. So, anemia, the difficulty diagnosing anemia. What to do about anemia is easy. I've done shows on that. Just get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .t.cc with 2 T's. Look up my shows on anemia. Once you've identified it, it's pretty easy to fix anemia. But so much of this slips through. Women, when they bleed, women who really bloat up and fill with blood during their periods, they're not bleeding, and so it confuses people. If I'm not bleeding, how can I be losing blood? You are losing blood. All your blood is going to the uterus. So as you're bloating, as the uterus is thickening, your blood is being drained into the uterus. And what does that leave the brain? The uterus hogs the blood that the brain should get, and it really works that way. All right. Furthermore, other causes. Structure. Well, before I get to structure, let me talk a little bit about the heart. The heart's a big one, and adrenaline's a bigger one. So let me give you the heart adrenaline cycle. Remember the damsel in distress, right? All those fairy tale hero movies. There's always a beautiful woman. When she confronts the monster, unlike the hero, when she confronts the monster or the perpetrator, she faints. Well, my Aunt Mary didn't faint. My Aunt Mary was as big as a man. And when one night some drunk was in her apartment, she almost broke the guy's neck. Aunt Mary had forearms like a mafia don. And she didn't faint. But lots of women faint. The classic feminine model, that's changing, of course, and Aunt Mary didn't fit the description, but your classic damsel in distress, when facing danger, faints. She gets lightheaded. She gets woozy to the point where she faints. That's what you call weak adrenals. When you're confronting stress, your adrenal glands have to kick in, raise the blood pressure to the brain. That's what a healthy adrenal response is. A healthy adrenal response to stress is you'll get stronger as the adrenals throw adrenaline, epinephrine, into the blood. And once done, you feel like Godzilla and you attack the enemy, my Aunt Mary. Now, if you're just one of those people that's more petite, more delicate, in Ayurvedic medicine, we say the Vata. Those are the very slender people, men and women. Not the Mike Tysons, but the Twiggies. Those people tend to be undersupplied in the adrenal category. They can be very tough in a lot of ways, but not necessarily under the gun. And so when they're confronted with stress, their adrenals don't supply enough adrenaline to raise the blood pressure to the brain to get them moving. And their blood pressure drops because of adrenal insufficiency specific to the moment. That's really common. Lots of people are, well, enough people, we should say, are adrenally insufficient. You may even be a more hardy type, but your adrenals are absolutely shot and exhausted. You haven't slept. You don't eat right. You're burned out. You're working under too much stress. We don't have to get into it. My audience knows what I'm talking about. But if you hit that threshold where you just don't have it, you go down. Hey, I love the sport of boxing. What do you think happens when a boxer starts getting knocked out or knocked down where before it didn't matter? What do you think that is? As you age, you got less mojo. You take a boxer at 35 years old that can't take a punch anymore, and you give him the adrenal glands that he had when he was 18, and he's still strong. And that's the point. You want to make this connection between lightheadedness, dizziness, and your adrenal strength. And of course, in the classic tradition, we jest. We joke. The damsel in distress is always fainting. The petite, feminine, fey ray type of feminine. So we've got adrenal insufficiency. You know, when the adrenals go, when your adrenals are too taxed, you can't hold your magnesium. You can't hold your potassium. You urinate out all your electrolytes. You ever get electrolyte deficient? Did you ever dehydrate? Did you ever sweat so much you get lightheaded? Why? Well, in a sense, it's dehydration. That's one perspective. But when you sweat out your sodium, your potassium. You sweat out your magnesium. You urinate out your electrolytes also. Whether you're sweating or whether you're adrenally insufficient and losing through the urine your electrolytes, electrolyte loss is going to get you dizzy. Now you can see why it's like Sherlock Holmes. It would be wonderful if people came in with blatant, extreme scenarios, but usually people are a little bit of a bunch of things. There's another thing. While doctors look for an it, why, what is it that makes you dizzy? It's a little of adrenal insufficiency. It's a little electrolyte loss. It's a little low blood sugar. It's a little stress. And when you put it all together, you cross the threshold because those variables are always changing their influence, but crossing the line whenever they do. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. This is Straight Talk on Health. This show's for you. Dizziness and vertigo. Why do you suffer from it? Now, when we get to vertigo, that's when the room spins. Vertigo has a solution, and lots of people live with it. I had a lady call the other week, just so sick she couldn't even get here. She should have gotten here. If you want to understand vertigo, you have to understand the inner ear. Now, I put pictures of the inner ear on the show. Time not permitting, I won't get into those pictures, but look at the cilia in the inner ear, in the organ of Corti. That cilia has crystals at its base, and those crystals tend to get all shook up and displaced. Or the cilia don't sway the way they're supposed to sway. You got to have to look at the pictures to really get a visual on that. But those of you who have vertigo, meaning the room spins, meaning you suffer with it, all the way to Meniere's disease, look for the clenchers, people who clench. Why? Because your ear is in a bone in the skull called the temporal bone. Now we're getting to the bones of the skull, so we're going to shift discussion, and I have pictures there. 13, 14, 16, 17. The ear and the organ of Corti, with the cilia, with the crystals, with the displacement of these cilia, the hairs, improper function or improper sway of those cilia, those hairs, or displacement of those crystals is heavily related to the pulse or the vibratory frequency of the temporal bone. So now we're reminding you of a concept that all the bones of the skull fit together and they vibrate. This was disputed until the early 1900s when Italian anatomists prove it beyond argument. And that vibration between the cranial bones varies person to person. Those who clench destroy that rhythm. High association between vertigo, tinnitus, and clenchers. So what do you have to do if you clench? You've got to dig your way out of that clench. Clenching is a psychic pattern. You can try the dentist solution, which is the NTI. It works sometimes. Sometimes it doesn't work. Underneath it are psychic conflicts that you're working out at night and grinding your teeth up as a result of. Now let's get to the other problem with vertigo. And that is anterior head carriage compressing the occiput C1 and C2. Great picture of anterior head carriage, picture 24. And what does that do? It compresses the occipital bone of the skull. It compresses the first vertebra. It compresses the second vertebra. And then what fails to happen, once the head goes forward, you know, that forward lurch of the head that people suffer from, especially as they age, compressing those bones in the back. Once you compress the upper cervical spine, it locks down, it shuts your cranial rhythm. And the temporal bone doesn't vibrate. Your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, your sense of taste, all of it is the product of vibration or massage. It's micro massage. It's not like your head is expanding and contracting visibly, but very microscopically, it certainly is. And those that have been trained, as I have with my hands, can feel that blockage in the vibratory frequencies. If you've ever heard of cranial osteopathy, aspects of chiropractic all recognize this. And when you lock down, because that cervical spine locks down, you're headed for trouble in that ear. Because if the temporal bone doesn't vibrate, the hairs in the organ of Corti and the crystals, they don't equivalent correctly. They don't find their equilibrium. The body is an amazingly complex organism, and everything's talking to everything. Now, that anterior head carriage and that cervical compression demands cervical decompression. If you take all the people with vestibular issues where the room is spinning all the time, you're going to find the clenchers, and you're going to find people whose suboccipital spaces are completely and totally compressed. And those people need real therapy. Now, that's a grassroots. That's a very fundamental approach. Now, you can layer on top of that very topical approaches. And if you can get away with a topical solution, meaning a superficial manipulation, there are all sorts of exercises you can do for vertigo. Some of them work. Lots of them don't on lots of people. And that's the perspective I leave you every single week. Usually, if the easy fixes haven't fixed, you've got to go into your fundamental approaches, which take time. To shift your posture takes time. To get cervical decompression to the point where occiput C1 and C2 are pumping takes time. Sometimes it even takes time to get your blood sugar regulated so you don't go hypoglycemic each day. And if you've got to melt plaque in the coronary arteries because you're headed for the big one with dizziness as a prodromal symptom, melting plaque takes time. But time passes no matter what you do. And when you consider that if you've suffered from dizziness, from vertigo, it may have taken you 30, 40, 50 years to degrade to the point where you suffer. What's 6 months? What's a year? What's 2 years against 5 decades? And what's the cost against the benefit? Loss of time when time really counts after 50. 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. If you've got a problem with your health, if you need to be put on the right track and given a plan, give me a call. We'll see you next week.
Okay, that's a wrap. Don't forget to get to Dr. Medici's website at drmedici.com to look at the pictures and review the show as often as you wish. See you next week.